Hey everyone, welcome to Locked On Lakers for Thursday. Brian Kamenetsky and Andy Kamenetsky. James Worthy, Andy, he raised an interesting question following Wednesday's disastrous 139-130 loss to the Houston Rockets in overtime. Is this the low point of the season or is it rock bottom? These are the debates that we're being reduced to on Locked On Lakers next.
You are Locked On Lakers. Your daily Los Angeles Lakers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
I want to thank everybody for making Locked On Lakers first listen of every day, Monday through Friday, and sometimes on weekends. We get this thing up as early as we can for you. Always have fresh Lakers content for you. We appreciate the support. Make another Locked On podcast your second listen of the day, and also remember to subscribe to us at the Locked On Lakers YouTube channel. Leave comments there, leave comments on the iTunes page, leave comments at Cam Brothers on Twitter. We love to involve all of that stuff in the show whenever we can. And Andy, I'm going to assume that there will be some comments, and they won't be very good, from people following Wednesday night's game. 139-130 was the final score. The Lakers lose to the Rockets in Houston. You and I have watched a lot of basketball over the course of our almost, 20 years, almost covering the NBA and this team. I don't think I've ever seen anything like what happened in the overtime in this game. I stopped. 120, 120. Going over. Let me help get a little bit of dinner on the table for the boys. I come back 2.5 minutes later, and the TV says they're down by 13. It's been 2 minutes. What the hell? Have you ever seen anything like what happened to the Lakers at the beginning of this overtime? I have. No. I don't think I have.
No, I never have. And I think part of the problem was the Lakers never had it either. I mean, they looked absolutely as shell-shocked by, Houston, to quote Anchorman, that escalated quickly. Yes. As I described it in, we do these immediate post-game reaction videos for the Locked On NBA Network. You can always find these the next morning. It was like they got curb stomped in the opening minute and a half of overtime, and it just went so fast, and you could feel these young guys on Houston, particularly Jalen Green, who was just fantastic in
Jalen Green is evolving very quickly into one of these guys like DJ Augustine was, like JJ Barea. I think he could have a really good career, but he's just very obviously going to be someone who just murders the Lakers, because he's done it twice now, at least twice this year.
Yeah, but the difference is Jalen Green looks like he's about to become a multi-time all-star, whereas DJ Augustine and JJ Barea were DJ Augustine and JJ Barea. But those guys, and Kevin Porter Jr., Kenyon Martin Jr., you could sense that heading into overtime, they saw a window. They saw a window of opportunity in this game. I think they were kind of shocked that, LeBron had an opportunity to win this game basically at the buzzer or pretty close. He drove baseline. It looked like he had a decent opportunity at a reverse layup. He ended up passing out to Carmelo Anthony, who had to take a long two to beat the buzzer.
It was a quality look. It was a quality look.
Quality look, but Melo said afterwards, wasn't quite expecting it. And LeBron said after the game, because it really looked like...
It did, in real time on TV. Yeah, you're right.
What are you doing? He said afterwards that he was kind of off, off balance with it and didn't feel like he was really in a good position to take that shot.
He felt too like he was blocked out by the back, a little too far under the basket.
Right. David Nwaba, former Laker alert, had closed in on him. He thought that Melo ended up having a better look. In retrospect, it may have been one of those rare times where LeBron overthought it. But either way, I think the Rockets, those guys, I think had been expecting in that moment, well, we're done. LeBron's going to hit this, and
we played hard, we had a lead, we had a chance to win, we didn't do it. That's part of being a 16 win team. We'll go home and try better.
And the difference is, you know, between a team like the Lakers, where they are right now, underachieving, but with veterans, as opposed to the Rockets, second worst team in the NBA, but young enough that they're supposed to be this bad. For the Lakers, it's, oh, Jesus, are you kidding me? Like, this going to overtime. For the Rockets, it's, oh, Jesus, are you kidding me? Like, there's an excitement on their end to do this. And, you know, this is sort of thematic to what I know we're going to talk about during this show. There's an excitement on their end to get those extra 5 minutes that there just is not for the Lakers.
No.
Both contextually in this game, but also for the season as a whole.
Yeah, the Lakers are not. I think it is. That is a great point. The Lakers do not carry themselves like a team that is here to play 5 minutes of free basketball. that's not them. But this is one of those games, and it's not hard to find, you know, a couple of the numbers, and they are numbers that are typical of this team that explain why this game was in overtime anyway. But, you know, this doesn't happen a lot, but you look at it, LeBron had a triple-double, and not the most efficient triple-double, and we can talk about why here in a couple minutes.
LeBron said after the game, I did not play particularly well.
Right. It was a statistically good game in the sense of, like, the counting stats, but 9 of 26, 1 of 9 from three-point range.
It's the type of triple-doubles that people would detract from Russell Westbrook over the course of his career.
But if he, you know, you get 23 from LeBron, 30 from Westbrook, and we'll talk about Russ, who played quite well. 20 from Malik Monk, 17 from Austin Reeves, and 16 from DJ Augustine. They score 130 points and 120 in regulation. You're thinking to yourself, I think they're probably going to win. And then you look at it, Andy, and it's the same bleep as it's been all year, 16 turnovers. And they were particularly sloppy early in the game. And they were 69% from the free throw line. Because even with LeBron shooting 1 of 9 from three, they still almost were at 40% for the game. They shot the ball fine from the perimeter. And then the other thing is they just can't play defense. Houston shot 51% from the field, 42% from three, and they got to the line 19 times and made 18 of them. It is at this point not hard to figure out why they lose. They are a bad team, and they are a really bad defensive team. And there's no elixir to fix that, other than, I guess, maybe Anthony Davis coming back.
Well, I mean, when you talk about defensively, like, however good you think this team can be with the personnel that they have on that end, they can't do it without AD, because AD is not just their best defender, he's their most versatile defender. He's their most unique defender. He's the guy that actually makes this team. Even when they won a championship, like, you know, Danny Green played an important role. KCP played an important role.
Kuz had started to improve. You know, all those guys.
Kuzma, Markieff Morris in those situational moments. LeBron, like, they had a lot of guys who contributed a lot defensively, but nobody did what AD did. Like, nobody makes this team potentially
agree
where they are defensively more than him. And without him, they are a shell of a team trying to play defense.
It's funny, like, and I don't mean this to pick on our colleagues, but after the game, this is a pretty standard question. It's sort of been a standard framing of this all year long, where they talk about it as, like, when the Lakers go small, that's their offensive lineup. But then, like, when they go big, that's, like, the defensive lineup. And couple things with Anthony Davis out, let's go. Like, all we're talking about here is, are we going to play Dwight tonight or not? Like, it's the only difference in these lineups, and, you know, of the players that have been around,
honestly,
all year long.
Brian, it's not even, are we going to play Dwight or not? It's, do we have to play Dwight or not?
Correct. And it's sort of done in this context as if, like, oh, like, there is a lineup there where if you put X, Y, and Z on the floor, the Lakers are a really good defensive team, then they just struggle on the other end. No, they're still really bad, and they get worse offensively. And sometimes they're terrible offensively when they play small. You know why, Andy? Because they're a bad team. They're a really bad basketball team. And, you know, James Worthy said something interesting about why after James has been put in some just terrible positions. The Lakers just They owe James Worthy an apology.
We are biased to some degree because we know all those people at Spectrum Sportsnet. We've worked with them for years. We've done appearances. You know, going back to the first year that they the Kobe Powell Nash Dwight year. We've been appearing on them for a long time. They're great people. James Worthy deserves every goddamn Emmy he is potentially eligible for, because that dude is doing yeoman's work. Like, everybody's doing great work, but just
for not taking a sledgehammer, destroying the set, and mother bleeping this team to hell.
This hurts Worthy's heart, man. It does. Like, it hurts his soul.
I've told this story before. I'm not sure on this podcast, but I once got a hug from James Worthy, and I have never felt safer in my entire life.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it was just a warm blanket of safety.
And it sucks, Brian, because in real life, I'm the actual Laker fan and you're not. It's really wrong that Worthy hugged you and
dislike
me.
This team. I mean, I'm not a hater.
But you're not a closet
like Clippers fan or anything.
No, I know that, but you don't love the Lakers in the way that I love the Lakers.
That
Brian.
Is true.
And therefore, it's wrong that Worthy hugged you and not me.
I'm sure that next time, if you're in the studio and he's there, I'm sure if you ask James for a hug, he'll give you one.
I hope so.
Anyway, Worthy said some interesting stuff about this team. And again, just that it wasn't mother bleep this team to hell is impressive in itself. Let's talk about it next.
Locked On Lakers brought to you by Athletic Greens. Now, I started taking Athletic Greens, Brian, because I'm someone that, you know this, I'm always trying to find different ways to improve my health. I actually eat pretty well. And, you know, I'm always looking to add more vitamins, improve my immune system, better digestion, the whole nine. But the problem is, like, I don't have time to do all that stuff separately. And that's what makes Athletic Greens perfect for me. First thing every morning, I get my scoop of Athletic Greens. I mix it in with some cold water and boom, you got 75 high quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source, superfoods, probiotics, adaptogens. It starts my day out perfect. Athletic Greens, they were created because their founder experienced gut health issues and ended up on this complicated supplement routine to recover. It cost him $100 a day. He decided there's got to be a better way to do this.
Yeah. Damn right there.
By the way, we just learned he was wealthy.
He was rich.
He started this company. But this solution that he came up for everybody else cost less than $3 a month.
He peered through his monocle what the possibilities were.
Athletic Greens work for every lifestyle, whether you're keto, paleo, vegan, gluten-free, dairy-free. To make it easy for you, Athletic Greens is going to give you one free year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and five free travel packs.
The guy can afford it.
With your first purchase, all you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/NBA network. Again, athleticgreens.com/NBA network to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance.
You know what else it is, though? It's also a college basketball tournament season, which mm-hmm. I found out because it's like, oh, it's March. That makes sense. So from all the odds and contests and player props, and betonline.net is the number one source for all your sports betting needs and info. BetOnline remains the best spot for all of your sports scores, podcasts, and news this season. It's not just basketball. BetOnline is your continued source for all the sporting wagering information needs that you have, whether that's live betting on your favorite Vegas casino games. So head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and action. BetOnline, where the games start. So Worthy, after the game. So James was on Spectrum Sportsnet, and he brought up a theme that I thought was interesting, mostly because it really reflects how smart we are, and that is always something that I'm looking for when I watch television. But he said that this team plays very much like a group that had very high expectations at the beginning of the year and knows that those expectations are not going to be met. And it is difficult for them to kind of just find whatever that extra reservoir is, whatever the thing is that they're missing beyond the talent, to find it. And they just don't believe. And there's not enough belief on this team. It is a problem that they've had all year long in a lot of different ways, and one that I know we have been very concerned about sort of second half on, and particularly around the return of AD. To hear it from Worthy, though, both to hear the guy on the Lakers station say, yeah, this ain't going to work, but also that they don't, the team doesn't believe in what they're trying to do here, or that they can accomplish what they're trying to do. That is still pretty jarring to hear that, you know, from James frickin' Worthy.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot that he said, but I want to read one part of it where he said they don't feel like they can being win. That this is what I'm seeing. They can't beat the Suns or the best team. So I don't know, man. It's like they're not dead on arrival, but they don't have that tenacity. They don't have their will to work their way out of this. Even to get to the play-in game, you would think they might be able to with a healthy team. I don't even think. But it doesn't seem like they believe in anything. And he also noted, by the way, too, that he didn't think they could hit a new low, but they hit a new low tonight. Whether or not this is
rock bottom or a new low is a potential debate segment for segment three. We'll hold that. But there's been a lot of rock bottom talk this year. There's no question.
Dude, the only place you hear more rock bottom talk than a Laker game is an AA meeting. I mean, like, seriously, like you would think that you are hearing confessionals from people who, you know, get up in front of the group and, you know, hi, my name is
right, LeBron, like, alcoholic.
Seriously, like it's crazy. I've never heard this.
Turns out Austin Reeves has a raging sex addiction. Who knew?
Well, you know, his rookie year has gone well.
Austin, sex addict.
Hi, Austin.
Hi, Austin. Yeah. I mean, who doesn't like sex, Andy? It's gonna be, gotta be more enjoyable than this team. But like, you're right. I mean, the psychology of this team is like you could write books about it, because at the beginning of the year, the problem, I agree, and you hammered this a lot beginning of the year, was arrogance. Was them behaving like a team that, you know, had championship aspirations and was going to need to have a long playoff run and had to measure the whole thing out and do all that stuff like championship teams do, with understandably, except they were terrible. And they were like four games under 500 and they weren't playing well and they didn't earn the right to be able to do those things.
You and I actually, I have to say, we brought this up more than other people I'd heard, and I understand why people blew this off, just because in the grand scheme of things, preseason doesn't really matter. Mm-hmm. But they wasted opportunities in preseason. Like I thought that it was a mistake of them to sit LeBron as much as they did, or Russ as much as they did, and we talked about how AD was the only member of the big three who seemed to really be trying or care about, you know, the preseason at all. But that was sort of where the foundation of just a championship arrogance, but I think also just treating a deep playoff run, if not a finals appearance, if not a championship, as sort of fait accompli because of who they are, like collectively.
Yeah.
It felt like that's really where a lot of this stuff began. And I think Worthy actually mentioned the preseason, that they didn't take it seriously. And I think when the autopsy of this, you know, seemingly dead season eventually
gets
done.
Lot of doctors.
But I do think.
A lot of people peering into the carcass going, what the hell is that?
Yeah. It's like the alien autopsy.
That's not normal.
But I think people are going to, I mean, we don't have to go down, you know, this rabbit hole too much, but I think people are going to look back at preseason and realize it was way more important than it was given collective credit to.
I think that's true. And I also think it's true that we're going to have a lot of time, a lot of time for the autopsy.
We got to pace ourselves.
But, you know, that arrogance evolved into this sort of hope that, well, okay, when AD comes back, we'll see. But like, that was in my big concern. That was like, well, if it doesn't get fixed, and they're too smart, like Carmelo Anthony, Russell Westbrook, LeBron James, all they're not morons. And these guys have been around long enough, and they're the ones that matter to know when something is going to work or when it doesn't. And, you know, we were having a conversation about heart before we started. And I think we can have it in the third segment. But so much of heart in my mind, it just sort of, maybe even just sort of kind of set it up a little bit, is based on belief and belief, you know, in some ways, and based on kind of a, you know, to some degree, pride, no question, and a professionalism and all this, but also like a belief that like in something or in what you're doing or in the purpose of what you're doing. And, you know, people will say championship or bust all the time. Like,
they took it really literally. Like they literally basically took it as like a menu of two options, either championship or bust.
Bust.
And if we're not going to win a championship, we are going to bust. Like, we are going to bust in ways that you did not think was bustable. You didn't even think this sort of bustability word I just made up even existed until now.
And like, there's some middle ground here in some ways. You know, if they were six games over 500, we'd all have more collective hope that they'd probably be almost more frustrating than they are now, because it'd be like, well, clearly they can do it sometimes. What's mind-boggling about this team is just how bad they are. And, you know, I go back to this, and, you know, I LeBron is LeBron, and Russell Westbrook is whatever Russ is now, and so they should be better than they are with those two guys. And then,
and that's something Worthy said, by the way, too. He's like, even with the injuries, even with the protocols, all that, he's like, they should be better
than they are. I am not claiming otherwise. This is a bad basketball team, and you know, the lineup that they put out in, what was it, Sunday's game against San Antonio, or Monday in San Antonio, when it was just Russ and LeBron didn't play. That's a 20-win NBA team. And, you know, LeBron makes them better when he's back in the lineup. But now it's LeBron with a 20-win NBA team. Like, some of what the maddening inconsistency that they, how can they look so bad in one quarter and good in another? Go watch the Houston Rockets, who've won now 17 games this year. They have quarters where they look fantastic. You know, the Orlando Magic are garbage. They have quarters where they look, they won a game tonight, you know, Wednesday night. They beat the Pelicans. They did the Lakers a favor. Like, bad teams sometimes look good.
Sure.
The Lakers suck because they don't have enough good players. And the combination that they have, even with the good players that they have, is not good enough. And so, like, I just feel like that is a big part of this that can't get forgotten when we talk about things like heart, which we should do next.
Locked On Lakers brought to you by RockAuto.com. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models out there, it is impossible to stock all the parts you would need in a traditional chain storefront. And why would you spend 30%, 15%, 100% more for the exact same
model? Who do you think you are, the Athletic Greens guy?
Exactly. You know, but even he would appreciate that you still want to spend your money smart. You can get it for way less at RockAuto.com. For example, Honda Odyssey fuel pump, $353 from a chain store. It's only $216 from Rock Auto. Rock Auto is a family business. They've been serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. And whether it's for a classic or a daily driver, get everything you need, few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. So go to rockauto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car or your truck. Right, Locked On in the How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices. All the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com.
All right, let's talk about Heart, not the band. You, Andy, had some comments. James Worthy kind of made some comments about it. When you talk about Heart, though, what are you talking about? Because I think it is a loaded word for sports fans. So I think your point here is an interesting one. But I also think it's important to define your term. Like, okay, when you talk about Heart, what are you talking about?
Or specifically when I'm talking about this team lacking heart. It's not just about like playing hard, even though that is a part of it, like, you know, hustle, effort. And it's not just like a matter of focus. It's not just a matter of urgency. It's not just a matter of belief. What I'm talking about specifically with heart that this team really lacks and has lacked all season is just the willingness to fight for the sake of fighting and compete for the sake of competing. Mm-hmm. Even if you know it probably, or I guess at this point right now, likely isn't going to work out, like, you do it because that's what you're supposed to be doing anyway. Because at the end of the day, you live for the idea of competition. And this is something athletes talk about all the time, or even, you know, just whatever you are, all of us are competitive by nature with something. Like I am not by nature the most competitive guy in the world, but there will be things that bring out that side of me. Like everybody has that. And
movie trivia.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Beverly Hills 90210 trivia.
Oh yeah. All that.
Oh yeah. All over
the important
it.
Stuff.
But like they don't play like a team with their heart in that battle. They don't play like a team that is their heart is in what they're doing. I think that's in part why the bottom falls out so quickly for them, you know, beyond the talent issues, you know, that are obviously real. But collectively, they just play without any real tangible heart. And that actually is a big reason that they've been unpleasant to watch this year. It's not just that they lose. Mm-hmm. It's how and why they lose.
It's such an interesting point that you're making and the distinction that you're making. And I'm trying to find the parts where I agree and where I don't. And I'm not sure I disagree with anything that you're saying per se, but I'm thinking about it in the context of heart. And like,
this is just how I define it.
No, I understand. It's nothing that I'm saying you're wrong, but like, it's funny because like, when you think about like, they don't quit on games very often. They've had a couple clunkers, but everybody does. They fall behind. They generally come roaring back and all this, you know, all this stuff. But at the same time, you know, you tell me Stanley Johnson's not playing hard. You know, I mean, I think the supporting cast generally plays. They're not good, but they play hard as a team. I think what you're talking about here is it goes back to that belief question. It's that little edge of something. And, you know, I think LeBron knows this isn't going to work. I think Russ knows this isn't going to work. I think that AD probably sees that it's not going to work. Carmelo Anthony, who actually is one of the few joyful things in this entire flipping season.
My God.
Who seems to actually still enjoy playing. Like
he's
that game Monday when he was doing all the old man at the Y, I'm playing center stuff against Jakob, you know, little guys, and then Jakob Poeltl. And like, I think he looked like he was having fun.
Look, man, if Melo wants a ring before he retires, depending on how this offseason goes, I wouldn't blame him for not coming back. But in a perfect world, I'd be thrilled with them bringing him back.
Give that man a lifetime contract.
He's filled his role. I think Melo has been an absolute positive signing in terms of what you expected from him. He's lived up to it in certain ways, like in terms of effort defensively and, you know, the commitment to it. I think he's exceeded it. Like he defends as well as he possibly can. And then in the meantime, like just attitudinally, he's been great.
Yeah.
He's just been
terrific.
There
are very few players on this team that I would give kind of A's to or B plus, A minus, whatever. You know, when you kind of do that thing, like you say, expectation versus performance. Mm-hmm. I think Malik Monk gets one. Austin Reeves obviously gets one. And Carmelo Anthony gets one.
Yep.
And Kent Bazemore. Just making sure you're still paying attention. Try to slide that in. But like, I think part of the problem here is, you know, with those guys don't, you know, when your team leaders kind of have the body language and have the, it's not, again, not that they're loafing or whatever. I mean, LeBron defensively wasn't great against Houston. I also don't think he's healthy, and he's also being asked to do way too much. But also, nobody's having fun. You've made this point a ton, and it's really a good one. You have to, like, I realize it's basketball. They're all making a lot of money. You have to like it. You have to enjoy it. I'm not saying they don't like each other. I'm not saying they... There's been nothing enjoyable about this season, going back to the expectations to where they are now. And I think that, and you can tell me if you disagree, is a big reason that something in that heart category isn't there, because there's not that enjoyment of what they're doing as a collective.
There's not an enjoyment in what they're doing. And I think increasingly they find it kind of pointless. Because I know they are, I think, legitimately trying to stay in the play. And I think they want to give themselves an opportunity, if for no other reason than to avoid the embarrassment of missing it altogether. But they're not a team that believes in themselves. So I think in some respects, they are dealing with kind of a what the F are we even doing here factor.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like, you know, would you if you're LeBron, I mean, LeBron said, like, I'm not sitting out because I'm not sitting out. Because, like, essentially, kind of, you know, kind of like Kobe, like, they pay me to play basketball. I love to play, but this is my job. It is what I'm expected to do. I love to do it, and I'm going to go do it. If I can play, I'm going to play.
Sure. I mean, there are going to be cynics who say that, you know, every game gets him closer to Kareem.
That's fine. If I were that close to setting a scoring record in the league, I'd want to play too.
I'm not saying that as a criticism of LeBron. I'm just saying that there will be people who say that is maybe at this point the number one reason he's out there, just in the sense that you can't get those games back, which, okay. I'm just saying that beyond the professionalism of it, there's the practical, sure, okay. I only have so many games left and I want to get that record. I don't blame LeBron for wanting to get that record. If I was in his position, I'd want to get it too.
I just, you know, so it's like he's playing, but like, again, is he playing because there's that still the belief in the overall mission and the overall goal that, you know, yeah, it's a long shot, but if XY, it requires a certain level, and being a professional athlete going into the playoffs, this is one always would have been one of my favorite things about the mentality of athletes at this level, is how they can always convince themselves that whatever situation they're in is the exact right situation that they need to be in to succeed in the next step. You know, you hear guys, yeah, but you know what? It's great that we had to, you know, we're an 8 seed, but we had to work our way in. We had to win 6, you know, so it's great that we have to, you know, we're playing really well. Whatever it is, these guys are great at taking negatives and turning them into positives and really genuinely believing stuff, even if it's diametrically opposed to the exact same scenario that they had last year, where they said that was a terrible way to do it. Like, and this team doesn't seem to have that gene. They seem to be like the rest of us. We're like, well, what, this isn't going to work. Except they're not supposed to believe that. We're allowed to, but they're not supposed to.
Right. But at the same time, what I'm talking about, though, in terms of that competitiveness for the sake of competing, like we've covered teams before that were not good. Like, you know, some eras of, you know, the kids, like the Lonzo, B.I., Kuzma, some of those early years, they were not good. And I think they knew they were not a good team. Like, you know, I think in some respects they knew they weren't supposed to be good. But these were all guys who had a lot of belief in themselves. Mm-hmm. But you rarely, if ever, saw them not competing because they were like, we're going to lose. You know what I mean? Like you never felt that sense of what's the point.
Yeah, no, I agree. Although I would say the context makes a huge difference.
Of course. So, like, again, and these guys are human. Like, I want to make it clear. I'm not trying to rip them as much as I'm saying this feels like a truth to me. And that truth, however understandable in certain respects, it is, you know, it is disappointing in certain ways and also just unpleasant altogether as a reality. However understandable you find that reality, it is disappointing in certain respects, but also just it is really, really unpleasant.
Yep. So let us know what you think. It's a great question. I'm glad you brought it up and we had a chance to talk about it. We can keep talking about it, but I'd love to hear from you guys at Camp Brothers on the show page on iTunes. Of course, obviously Locked On Lakers on YouTube. Leave a comment there about, you know, what you think about Hart in terms of sports, what you think about this team's Hart. I have a feeling some of you may not be terribly charitable. Locked On Lakers, your first listen of every day. Thank you very much for that. Again, subscribe to Locked On Lakers on YouTube. We'll see everybody on Friday.